Hey guys, this is Laura Vandervoort. I played Kara Kent / Supergirl on Smallville, and you are listening to Always Hold On to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show. They ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and we are back for our 24th level 33.1 roundtable discussion. We have Chris Fuchs.
Hello, hello.
Casey Cochran.
What's up?
And Joey Deanberg.
Pizza time.
Pizza time. Those pizzas are late. I'm not paying for those. So
I'll just pack up and walk away.
Yeah. Joe's pizza is a promise, man.
Pay full price for late pizza.
There it is. What is with these superhero movies and pizza? Spider-Man stole that guy's pizza. Have you seen the outtake on the Spider-Man 2 DVD? It's Stan Lee, and he keeps getting the line wrong. He's like, Spider-Man stole that guy's sneakers. Ah, I mean pizza. He keeps getting it wrong. It's like, come on, Stan. That was in the early days of his cameos. So anyway.
Yeah, I guess that's why he didn't have speaking roles at first.
So why are we quoting Spider-Man 2? Because we just all saw Spider-Man 3. 2. Spider-Man No Way Home. This will be a spoiler discussion. Warning, I mean, it's already been spoiled. Thanks, Joey. But Tobey Maguire's back. Andrew Garfield's back. The Sinister Five are in this movie. 6, if you count Tom Harvey. It's the same. It's Unite the Seven. It's the same thing with DC. The Sinister Five. Tom Hardy Venom is in a. I saw Venom 2 the same, like a couple days before Spider-Man No Way Home. Lance and I went and saw it because I was like, well, I want to see all the movies, right? I want to be able to know everything. And I knew that there was like the tease of the post-credit of Venom 2 where he was like, you know, multiverse and he got sucked into the MCU. I was like, okay, we'll see how this goes. And then watching the whole movie, watching all No Way Home, I completely forgot about it. And then that post-credit scene, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. He was in this. Guess I couldn't get Topher Grace. But anyway, right off the top, Spider-Man No Way Home, fantastic. Everything I wanted it to be. It's in my top 10 favorite superhero movies now. Maybe I'm just riding the hype train too much, but it's like, literally, if you're going to do this, you could not have done it any better. And I thought it was great. So what'd you guys think? Chris, let's start with you. Maybe you didn't think it was as great.
I thought it was thoroughly enjoyable. I thought it was a great movie. I thought it was great fan service. I thought it was very enjoyable.
No, I can see it. I can see it on your face.
It's not like, oh my God, amazing. It
didn't change your life.
For me. No, it was good. So I put it on the level of, so like you have your movies that are like, this is great cinema. This is a great story. This is great character development, et cetera, level. I think it's great. It was very enjoyable. I will definitely rewatch it many times. I equate it to, it's not the first Avengers movie. It's more like Avengers Endgame, where like, if you sit here and you try and tear it apart and analyze it, it falls apart, but like it hits all the emotional beats. You enjoy it in the theater. It's great. You'll rewatch it, but it's not like relooking like the first Avengers movie and you kind of award that and praise that for all the groundbreaking things they did there and how it all came together. Story, character, enjoyment, comedy, all of it. That's how I feel.
Okay. Slightly less positive, but still very
it's not negative.
Positive.
It's definitely not negative.
I don't know. I don't know why I got this vibe from you there that you were gonna like say you didn't like it.
But. No, definitely not. I mean, you see everyone coming out like, oh my God, favorite Spider-Man movie ever. This is great. And I definitely appreciate that. I don't think it was a bad movie by any stretch. I don't have negative things to say. I just, for me, it's not the top, I guess.
No, that's fair. That's fair. What about you, Casey?
I am, well, to say the least, I'm really glad I saw it this weekend and that I didn't wait.
No, there was no way to wait for No Way Home.
I mean, I was just blown away, and clearly Andrew Garfield is a liar.
That poor guy. How many times did he have to tell people he wasn't in this?
When all he wanted to do was talk about his other movies, too.
He is the only person that put me in doubt.
and the only downside, and it's not really a downside, but Tobey Maguire will never be Ben Parker now.
I was waiting for someone to say Uncle Ben. When he comes out, no, the MCU is very clearly does not interested in Uncle Ben. Like, this is nail in the coffin for Uncle Ben. No pun intended.
We're fully in spoiler territory.
Yeah, I told you spoilers. You have no excuse now.
So when Aunt May perished, I was ready for the emotions to swell with the I thought the Toby music was going to swell at that point, and he was going to save the day.
And then when
Toby was, or when Tom was, you know, on his last ropes there, that's before we
knew either of them were still going to be in the movie. Right?
Yeah. That's when I thought they were going to show up. And then when Aunt May died, I was like, all right, it's not happening. They're not going to be here.
You thought they weren't going to be in the movie at that point.
That's where I was at that point. Okay. Yeah. I was like, okay, this is the point where they saved the day. And I was crushed. I was weeping when Aunt May perished. All the emotions were flowing.
But you didn't have to wait long, though.
Yeah, no. I'm very glad they lifted us up, but very close after that.
That was the perfect time to lift us up with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the traditional Marvel way of quickly making you laugh after something like that. I thought it just new scene, and we were all fully distracted.
Break you down, build you back up.
You're so caught up in what's going on already, you forgot that like these other guys are showing. But Casey, did you have any other thoughts then? First initial thoughts.
The only other initial thoughts I have is this movie has inspired me to do a massive rewatch before Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, and it's going to include everything that could possibly be referenced.
Oh, because it will all be in there,
including the Netflix shows, including the Venom movies, which I have not seen, and
Fantastic Four, X-Men.
What about Fantastic?
Fanforstic, no, but I don't think Fanforstic is good. But you don't. I think some Fantastic Four people will be in there.
Maybe, but I don't think it'll be from anything we've seen before.
So I don't know. I think the Multiverse of Matt, because they did research recently, and I think they just decided to like who call everyone who's ever been in a Marvel movie.
Yeah,
Eric Bana, like whoever, get him in here. They're gonna do it. They're gonna learn all the wrong lessons from this.
My wife and I are going to be doing a MCU what we know now rewatch, starting obviously where the MCU started in 2002, and then
watching 2003's Hulk afterward, because Hulk is a sequel.
You know,
so Hulk. That used to be like an undercover trick question for people. I used to be like,
I'm gonna have to bring that to the management team and decide if we're gonna be watching that or not.
Take it under advisement.
I will not.
No, okay. Well, you're going to be very confused when Eric Bana shows up in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. So, yes. So you enjoyed it, Casey?
Definitely, absolutely.
Okay, good. Unlike Chris over here, he didn't change his life. So it's just a mere 8.5 out of 10 for Chris, as opposed to 10 out of 10.
Between that and also on Sunday, I saw Trans-Siberian Orchestra in concert. This was one of the greatest weekends I've had in a long time.
Oh, Christmas music, huh?
Wait, even with the Bucks?
That was the one damper on the weekend.
Yeah.
But I did not let it ruin my weekend.
It brightened mine.
Ah, there it is.
Bears are still terrible, so.
Well, I'll have you guys know, since you bet on football, I missed the playoffs and always won the football league by one spot.
And I missed by many.
But
I'm the three.
I'm in another league. And my boy Josh Allen and my other boy Stefan Diggs. My 1 and 2 picks, I'm in first place. Having a bye week into the playoffs, so go Bills.
That's what I did in my own league.
I'm gonna win it all back in the other league. So Joey, what'd you think?
Well, as I previously stated, I wept multiple times throughout the film. I always like to remind Zach of my age. So I was 7, 8 years old, somewhere in that range, when the first Spider-Man movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
So prime age to just love every second of that. Spider-Man 2 was just everything I could imagine plus more. Spider-Man 3 was as fun as Batman Forever. And going on from there, kind of fell off a little bit, but this movie brought everything together, I thought. I would say it's a 100% 5 out of 5, 10 out of 10 on any scale. And if you come into this movie only seeing the MCU, at that point, the lowest it could be is a 4.5 out of 5. This was, for me, this is squarely in between Superman 78 and The Dark Knight. Second favorite comic book movie of all time. and I absolutely loved it and just ready for any and all conversation about it.
All right, well, let's get into it then. Yeah, I mean, top, that's pretty high. You know, I wouldn't put it that high myself, like, because I still, to me, the first two Raimi Spider-Man movies are still the top two, and this would be third after those two. And then as far as the greater, but in my top 10, I have three Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies in my top 10, so I guess he's my favorite superhero now. That's why I like Smallville so much, because it's like Superman through the lens of Spider-Man. Yeah. And I think that's why I like Smallville so much. Yeah, because Tobey Maguire's a big guy, man. Like if I were a superhero in real life, I would be Tobey Maguire's Peter Parker. You know what I'm saying? So, also, and I was in high school when those movies came out. So much like Clark Kent, blah, 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 right? You guys know the spiel. But I think we all suspected that Toby and Andrew were going to be in the movie. But the way they were in the movie just exceeded all of my expectations, because they were actually supporting characters in the movie. They didn't just, it wasn't like an Endgame thing where they showed up at the end through a portal and like, hey, we're also Spider-Man. We are here to help you defeat our villains. See ya. Like, I figured that was going to be it. Right. But no, it's like they're in the movie. And I, so like the first, it was very smart how Andrew Garfield came in first. Cause everybody, I mean, everybody wants to see Toby, you know, but it's like, I remember, he's like, I want to see Peter Parker, right? And the portal opens and you see a Spider-Man. He's like coming towards you. I was like, who is that? It's like, oh, it's Andrew Garfield. Because I saw the big eyes. Like, it's Andrew, cares on this guy. But everybody did cheer. He was great. I got to tell you what, y'all. I'm a Toby guy, right? But Andrew Garfield was like the best thing about this movie. I got to say, like, I said this before too. I was like, I'm most excited to see Toby, but I'm most happy for Andrew Garfield, because he got the short end of the stick with his movies. And he was so good. He was so like spazzy in himself. Like, he was his spider, and Toby was too. They were both, they showed up as their Spider-Man, I think. Like, they all were, had their different shades, but Andrew Garfield just really shined. And I tell you what, the most emotional moment of the movie to me, we all knew it was going to happen. Everyone knew this was going to happen
from the trailer.
It's like, I know it's going to happen here, but it happened and it still got us in the feels. And we all know what I'm talking about is when MJ's falling, Tom Holland is jumping after her, Goblin pushes him out of the way. You're like, oh my God, what's going to happen? And you see Andrew Garfield, I'm like, oh my God, he's going to save her. And he saved her, and he learned from his mistake last time. He saved her differently. He caught her instead of web catching her. And he catches her, and the movie like gives it a moment there. And he's like tearing up, and she's like, you okay? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, oh my God, the feel. That's a horrible movie. Amazing Spider-Man 2 is one of the worst super movies of all time. But that led to this moment, and that makes it worth it. And I mean, Andrew Garfield, give me Amazing Spider-Man 3. Sony needs a Spider-Man to fight Venom. Make it Andrew Garfield, make him fight Morbius, like do all these things, right? I don't know. So that fantastic.
I was kind of thinking, could the Venom movies take place in the Amazing Spider-Man universe?
They've kept it also vague right now, because like Eddie Brock, like he was from New York, but he moved to San Francisco. Why? I don't know. But then the Morbius movie coming out has, if you see in the trailers, there's an Oscorp building, which is the Oscorp building from Amazing Spider-Man. But there's also like a poster of Tobey Maguire on the, you know,
and Michael Keaton.
And Michael Keaton's in it.
Or is that Morbius?
No, Michael Keaton's in Morbius. He's like, hey, right. Doc. I'm like, he's Vulture. So what universe is any of this stuff take place in? I don't know. Like, those are fun things that we'll all figure out. But I think they delivered beyond all expectation. Like they had the actual slower emotional moments with like talking about Uncle Ben, and with great power comes great responsibility. They had the like kind of nerding out in the lab moments with everybody talking about the web shooters. It was fantastic. Yeah. We all knew that was going to happen.
That was one thing I thought was awesome. They actually talk about it. They compare themselves.
Yeah.
You know, you don't usually get
those coming out of you.
Like, how many times have we hoped for that on Smallville? When someone finds out about Clark's secret, you don't talk about things. Oh yeah. You know, that time when that happened, that was me, blah, 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 whatever, you know, stuff like that.
That is the one saving redemption of that one episode in one episode in season 10, where like with the blue kryptonite and he's driving with Lois and she Harvest. Just, yeah. And asking they're talking questions. About like, she's asking like, what was this? I was like, oh, that was Kryptonian. And it's like, that's Shavation. No, that was my cousin's.
Yeah.
Like stuff like that. I love stuff like that. So to see them nerd out and talk like this, I love that stuff too.
Harvest is good for Clone Lex too, Chris. Little All clone right. Lex, so
you're right.
And the thing about the you know, the web shooters for as a specific example, that's what makes me think that this movie is as accessible to a regular audience who's just like, you know, here for the next MCU film. It's so much better for the fans, but to me, it's like similar to The Mandalorian, honestly, where anybody can jump in and enjoy that conversation anyway. It's not overly meta. It's not over, you know, anybody can jump in and access that.
Yeah. By the way, y'all, like, if you're listening to this, you've seen the movie. So we're not like, so here's the plot and rose gold down the list. We're just whatever comes to mind, we're going to discuss here.
Yeah.
So it's there's going to be just free open forum here. Speaking of The Mandalorian, right? Like, I good on you, Disney, because like last year you got me with Luke Skywalker. This year you got me with Toby and Andrew. I'll throw Andrew in there as well. And that's two totally radically different ways to do things, right? Because it's like you were thinking, Joey, you mentioned earlier, like, oh, when Aunt May would look like she was going to die, I thought Toby was going to come in and save the day. That's one of the way you could have done it. Like Luke Skywalker saved the day on The Mandalorian season two. But this was like different. This is like a slow introduction to, you know, both other Spider-Man, and they came in and they had all these scenes, and like, and that's equally great. And I think adds a lot more depth to it if they had just shown up through a portal and been there for like 10 minutes, because we had seen so little of them. We thought that was what it had to be, but there was so much of them in this. I was so impressed.
I literally pulled my watch up the second they showed up, and I'm like, holy shit, we have half of a movie left.
I got a question about when and how they showed up a little bit. And it's based kind of on Toby's dialogue when he gets in. So were they in their own worlds and he opened up a portal to them, or had they already come over?
No.
And they were in the universe somewhere. And
they were already here.
Yeah. And that's not entirely clear. So if you think about it, you're kind of like, oh, okay, because they've been there looking around, because Toby was like, hey, I'm looking for your friend. And it's like, you're not the other guy. And so I thought that too. I was like, did he open an interdimensional portal? But no, it was just, and that was smart. I was shocked that it happened that way. Having Ned be like, oh, where's Peter Parker? And then, man, I don't know what the movie theaters you guys are in, but like, as soon as Andrew came through, it was like, wow. And then
I don't know about everybody else. I was at a noon matinee Friday morning because I just, the Thursday wasn't going to work. Yeah. The Thursday wasn't going to work out for me. You know, instead of getting a babysitter for the night, we just said, all right, we're dropping the kid off at daycare. We're taking the we took a vacation day.
Yeah.
And I was the only one cheering. I was very upset with our audience. I yelled personally and nobody else did, so that was unfortunate.
Man,
I went with a guy who's never been to, I mean, he's seen the movies and he watched them at home and stuff, but he's never been to any kind of like opening night stuff. And you know, the theater went crazy. We went on Friday night and the theater went crazy when these guys come in, then even crazier when Toby came in after Andrew, and he just was like, had no idea what's going on.
What is going on? I think so. Andrew came through and they're like, okay, and then they have their whole thing. It was pretty funny. And it was smart because like you get him out of the way, because he was great. But like going into the movie, you're like, okay, he's going to be here too, but we all really don't know if Tobey Maguire is going to be here, right? So he gets his whole moment by himself with these other characters. Yeah. And then they're like, try again. And I think I literally would yell, I'm like, Toby! at the screen. And the people are cheered. He's like, oh, hey guys, you know? And so good. Also, stuff that got huge cheers that I didn't really expect. I was laughing and cheering too, is when Green Goblin first comes through.
Yeah.
You see him, I was like, yeah! Because like it's fantastic. It's like when Willem Dafoe, oh my god, right? Willem Dafoe's a revelation. Like we all know he's fantastic, but like him in this movie actually recontextualizes and makes me like Green Goblin even more in the first movie. Because I'm like, oh, it's more of like a, I don't know, like the way the first movie's played, like he kind of like slowly just turns evil over the course of the movie, right?
Yeah.
But this is like, no, he's truly like switching back and forth, and that's more true to the comic books of the Green Goblin and Norman Osborn as well. So that you can totally rewatch the first movie kind of in a new light, seeing how he switches back and forth. And man, dude still got it, man. Like, and again, what an ultimate miscasting opportunity for him to never have played the Joker, right? Because the scene when Tom Holland is fighting him and just beating the hell out of him, and he's just laughing at him. I was like, that is so the Joker right there. And he's so, and I don't know if you guys saw, there was an interview with him. And he's like, yeah, he's like, when Willem Dafoe says, like, if I was going to come back for this, like, I wanted to do as many stunts as I could because that's part of the character. And he's like, I want to be part of that. It informs how to play the character. And I love that mindset, right? Because today it's like, how many actors just show up and do their CGI thing? But he's like old school. And man, he was fantastic. Oh, man, he was so good. And I think we all were kind of expecting more Doc Ock because he was a little more featured in all the trailers. But it makes sense because he was always the more sympathetic, you know, villain. And anyway, I think they handled everybody great. I mean, like Green Goblin, I think they knocked it out of the park. And I think he's even better arguably here than maybe in the first one. I don't know if that's a hot take, but
I really loved Sandman's apathy for the entire situation. He's like, I just want to go. I just want to go home. I don't really
go home to my daughter.
No matter what happens, I'll team up with the bad guys. I'll team up with the good guys. I just want to go home as soon as possible.
I think they did a fantastic job of showing like the motivation for each of these villains. Like it wasn't just they came in and they were bad because it's Spider-Man or they're, you know, like there was no like just evil genius plan to be evil. Like they all had their own motivations and they stayed true to them and followed them. And like you could see it by like Flint Marco switching sides. And
I will say Dr. Connors was purely in it for chaos.
Yeah,
that was so strange. Okay, so I thought there must have been two. I mean, obviously, scheduling, perhaps budget. I don't know, but like the fact that they were just all the Lizard, all Sand. That's so strange. The Sand would be Sand the whole time.
Well, when in Sandman when he turned human,
Stockfish.
It was it was a turned it backwards, saw, you know, like type of thing.
And the Lizard, same thing, stock footage from Amazing Spider-Man. Which I'm like, okay, maybe actor availability. I know the pandemic, all these things, but. But you know what? It totally worked, though. I didn't like it. Like the Sandman being Sand all the time was odd because we saw him in Spider-Man 3 like as a person. But what? And it was Thomas Hayden Church, and it was the other guy to play the Lizard. I can never pronounce his
name. The kicker from Replacements.
There it is. Yeah, kicker Replacements.
But like you were saying, though, I don't think they had him for anything other than that last scene.
Well, no. I think they didn't have them at all. I think they were all voiceover, and then when we saw them in the flesh, there was stock footage from both movies. So, Casey, did you have a favorite villain of the Sinister Five here?
My favorite Spider-Man villain has always been Doc Ock. So,
okay,
I was thrilled when he was going to be in this movie, and I was kind of wondering how. And I remember looking at IMDb, and at that time it said Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, but it said rumored. And that was kind of the last time I looked up anything about this movie. I didn't really even see too many of the trailers. I just knew that I was definitely going to see this movie when it came out.
And I think they carried on his character very well. As if fixing the chip, I think we all kind of assumed that was what was going to happen. And they could have done more where he like, because they did the whole like, I'm still evil. No, I'm not. I got you. Right. They could have done more with that, maybe with him fighting the other villains, but that's fine. They were all in it so much.
Yeah.
Like they were all characters, three dimensional in this whole thing.
So do you think part of Jamie Foxx's contract to come back was that he gets to be cool, normal, his cool own self rather than what he was in
they did a smart thing because he's like, oh, a different universe, that's why the power is different here. I'm like, all right, that's why he's not blue, fine, I'll take, because that was horrible. And even I've seen him in interviews talking about how like they told me I didn't have to be blue this time, so I came back.
I almost took it when he wasn't blue as more of a maturity of his powers, because I mean he's only got his powers for
week
six 12 hours. Throughout the movie, it just feels like it's like the same day almost. And I actually, Amazing Spider-Man 1, I've seen quite a few times, but the second one, I was thinking about it, and I was like, I think I've only seen this one other time. I think I watched it on a drive down to Texas to visit my sister-in-law, and I was like, well, I think that's the only time I've seen this. For half of that movie.
I'm pretty sure I've only seen The Amazing Spider-Man, both movies, once.
Yeah,
I've seen them quite a few times. I think that was one of the ones I owned, so I just watched.
I'm just glad that Andrew Garfield didn't see the ghost of Captain Stacy standing there staring at him awkwardly while he was doing stuff in this movie. That was the most very unintentionally funny thing. Just so staring at him.
How about imagine this? If you're Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man in this, he's clearly still mourning that Gwen Stacy's gone. Mm-hmm. And we know that there was supposed to be Mary Jane in his movie. So like, let's say she wasn't cut and they were just friends. He goes to an alternate universe and he meets two other Spider-Mans who are with MJs and they're like love of their lives. So he's got to know like what his future is here.
That's true.
Go back to his Earth and be like, hey, I got to hit this girl up.
I got Mary Jane Watson. Where are you?
So I've seen a few memes since the movie where it's talking about, you know, Tom Holland going to college and his lab partner is Gwen Stacy's like, nope, I am out of here.
I love that too. I saw that. It's like when you're Tom Holland Spider-Man, you go to college and Harry Osborn is your roommate, Gwen Stacy is your lab partner, and Kirk Connors is your professor. I'm like, oh no,
The topic of other goblins, and you mentioned the Joker. Mm-hmm. Since the movie, I've been just going through Disney Plus and watching some of the old cartoons, and oh my goodness, Ned's future of Hobgoblin. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody's seen it. Mark Hamill is the voice in the original cartoon. And I'm like, I was cooking dinner and I stepped back and I was like, I'm sorry, is this the, did I switch
to watching
the
Batman now?
Yeah. I was like, did I switch to Batman the Animated Series? The laugh is identical. And I'm starting to question a few of Mark Hamill's interviews where he's talking about, oh, I just came up with this Joker laugh. I'm
also the trickster of the Flash TV show. Yeah. The same exact thing.
So. I'm like, Mark Hamill, I think you've been working on this for quite a while.
Yeah.
Staying in his lane.
Yeah. Well, I mean, speaking of the villains, well, first of all, Ned, funny because he's like, that is funny. He's like, do you think there's other Neds? And we're like, no, there's not. Sorry, bro. And then he asked Toby, like, do you have a Ned? He's like, or do you have a best friend? He's like, yeah, he died in my arms after trying to kill me. It was heartbreaking. And then he goes and tells Peter that is Peter. Oh my God, they got the meme in with them all pointing at each other.
Yeah, that's
multiple times. That was fantastic. I just
it only could have been better if there was a, you know, the actual setting
in the alley. The, yeah. Well,
yeah, yeah.
But it's just like they gave us all the things we wanted and we didn't like, and they did them well. Like we didn't roll our eyes at like, oh, they had to put that in there. Even the the catchphrases that become memes of the villains, like, you know, something of a scientist myself, like that's or like the power of the sun in the palm of my hand, like it's so good. Well, obviously, okay, to get, and we're just talking all around, but like with Green Goblin, obviously he was going to be in it, right? Spider-Man 1, Spider-Man 2, obviously Doc Ock, right? You look at Spider-Man 3 and you're like,
I thought Paulie McGuire was going to make his own appearance, but
Paulie McGuire. I see, the thing is, like, these people get pulled through because they know Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's look at it this way. Obviously, yes, Green Goblin, check. Doc Ock, check. And I don't know what time they got pulled from where. Like they got pulled from different time periods and universes, which is very complicated. But you know what? It's magic. So fine. That's what I said. Yeah. That's like, I don't need to understand it, right? So Green Goblin, I don't know when he got pulled from.
Probably right before he gets impaled.
That's the thing, right? You know, that jump cut of him saying, oh. Sam Raimiism, but now you can always see it like him actually dying right then, which is actually kind of tragic.
The other thing is the glider also comes with him.
Oh,
so, yeah.
It must have been from another time.
I was visualizing this in my head, and I just picture the glider kind of goes through him while he's starting to materialize, I guess.
Well, I mean,
so that way it can't impale him,
but he has his mask on, so it's during the last fight of Spider-Man, probably.
But he says, can Spider-Man come out to play twice when he's calling Peter in the hospital? He already knows he's already attacked Aunt May.
It could be well before that,
yeah,
it's right after Thanksgiving.
I think he's already attacked Mary Jane, too.
Yeah, the number one Thanksgiving movie of all time.
Yeah, that's right. Work was murder, so
right behind.
I just watched the first Spider-Man before doing this podcast today.
It's fantastic, man. Holds up.
It's the number one Thanksgiving content to consume right after,
like I said, I Lionel my and John,
or Martha having Thanksgiving dinner with Clark.
Nightmare Before Christmas, also a perfect Thanksgiving movie because it's Halloween and Christmas right in between. So plenty of opportunity for Green Goblin to come through, right? Makes sense, right? Doc Ock, right? He actually explains, he's like, I had him in my arms, right? So it's right there where Toby is about to tell him, like, intelligence is not a privilege, it's a gift, right? That's a huge plot hole in Spider-Man 2, by the way. It's like one of the greatest superhero movies of all time. But early in the film, Otto Octavius tells Peter Parker, intelligence is not a privilege, it's a gift. And then at the end of the film, to turn him, like, to turn him back good, Tobey Maguire tells, you know, Peter Parker tells Doc Ock, he's like, you once told me that intelligence is a gift to help all mankind. And then Doc Ock says, yes, a privilege. It's like, no. That's the opposite of what you tell. Anyway, it's fine. So the greatest movies of all time, but that is a plot hole. But that's when that would have happened, right? Because he's like, he explains to people, like, I had him in my hand. I've had my arms around his throat. So that's when that happened. You go to Spider-Man 3. I have no idea when Sandman came through. Obviously, it's after Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
To me, that was the clunkiest, like, guy showing up. He's like, Peter, it's me, Flint Marco, remember? That was so strange to me. That's the one I was like,
Well, you know, it's very easy for him to figure it out because he says, you killed my uncle.
So my uncle.
The one guy he killed because he didn't mean to do it. It's very easy.
No, I know that he knows he's Peter Parker. I'm just saying he showed up, like him explaining who he was to Tom Holland. Yep. That was like, okay, guys, that's a little clunky. He's like, Peter, it's me. I'm here to help you. What's going on? It just felt
totally
like,
forgot about that.
Yeah.
It just felt like play like a video game or another person.
Did you
shows
give
up.
Him a chance?
Yeah.
Did you?
Did you give him? Hey, and later on, Toby's like, so I chased down the man I thought killed my uncle, which is a good way to just kind of like, let's just avoid all that retcon stuff. That was kind of clunky. Obviously, he knew he was Peter Parker, Ben Parker. He knew who that was. So that's fine. I don't know when he came through, whatever. That works. Venom. Venom actually died fighting Pope. That's like Topher Grace's Venom actually died fighting Spider-Man. So he totally fits the criteria of these villains. Why didn't they bring him? Because they have probably.
It doesn't Sony fit the current
has,
plans.
Well, no. Sony has their own Tom Holland Venom. Venom 2, he mentions that the symbiote has knowledge through the multiverse or whatever. That's complete BS. But that's why Tom Hardy came through.
You know what? Maybe he came through. And he got hit by a bus as soon as he's like coming through the portal or something.
There it is. Problem solved.
Yep. There it is.
Yeah. Also, I think we're meant to, I mean, you're meant to think that there's so many more even about to come through, like in the end.
Oh, well. Of course. Yeah. That's what
there's
all those
Scorpion,
were,
right? There's Rhino up there.
You see all the crave. You see all these, you know, all these.
Were they, are they actually outlines. There? Or is that speculation?
That's speculation, but they look at the outlines and they say that it's an intentional like form of silhouette, gotcha. Of, like a guy in a rhino.
See. And was Kirsten Dunst Mary Jane wandering around somewhere?
That's the one thing I was like, are we going to see, you know, Kirsten Dunst or are we going to see.
Or all the people on the train?
Maybe, yeah, it's just.
Yeah, but they don't know he's Peter Parker. They just know he's a kid.
Right. Well, no, but I meant like, I was thought like, are we going to see the guys go back to their own universes at the end? Like, just for like a scene? That would have been nice.
I was kind of, you know, if I have one gripe, it's that the end swing didn't involve all three.
Oh, at the end of the movie? Universe.
Yeah.
Oh,
I kind of thought we would get all three. That, you know, it's a tiny gripe. That's why it's still fine.
That was another fantastic moment, though, where they all three like land at the thing. I'm like, oh my God, it's Spider-Man. Oh my God. It's so Topher Grace, they obviously should have brought in. They didn't. I understand why. It's fine. Whatever. Then you go to the Amazing Spider-Man. There's only one villain, the Lizard. They brought him in. Keeping the Lizard form was kind of smart. Like, I found this dinosaur running around. You know, that's fine. He was completely like useless this whole movie. He didn't really even do anything.
You know, the sixth one is really Jameson.
I don't like how they made him like Alex Jones. I like the old, you know, newspaper guy, but I guess that's
pictures of Spider-Man. I have never hated JJ more.
Oh, he's a straight up horrible guy. I guess that's the point. I guess he always is a bad guy. This movie finally just showed us that he's actually a bad guy, huh?
Yeah. And yeah, he was when May dies and he is right there. I was flipping the bird in the theater. I was angry.
Well, let's see that. Okay. Yeah. That brings us to Amazing Spider-Man 2. The Rhino, they didn't bring through. Thankfully they reference him, which is funny. Okay. Electro did not know Peter Parker was Spider-Man. That's a huge pothole. Even at the end, he's like, I thought you would be black.
Yeah.
Like, got to be a black Spider-Man out there somewhere. Miles Morales setting that up. Hopefully that will be in the next big Spider-Man crossover movie they do, which I'm sure they'll do another one now since this is going to make all the money. Yeah. So that is a plot hole. Like, he even says, like, yeah,
a minor plot hole.
That's a huge plot hole. What are you talking? The whole premise of this movie. Is
no, he villains. Knows, though.
How does he know he's Peter Parker? Tell me.
Because he's there with Harry in Amazing Spider-Man.
But
he don't know how he knows.
And he's already been absorbed into the grid or something. I think he was even missed that. So I don't know. I have to rewatch Amazing Spider-Man 2, but I don't think he knew.
I watched it. I watched it right before heading into the theater. And I guess I thought at some point he said, you know, Peter Parker.
Maybe he heard his name. He just didn't see his. That's the loophole we can find because Gwen Stacy was there.
Yeah.
You can head candidate somehow, but that is kind of blatant. Like, you know, but he did die fighting Spider-Man, which unlike Doc Ock, who did not die fighting Spider-Man, he died destroying the machine. So is he still going to die when he goes back, even though he's a good guy? Because he had to destroy the machine with his arms.
Yeah.
Sandman didn't die fighting Spider-Man unless Tobey Maguire
killed him later. Could be a branch universe. They send him back to the present instead of that time.
Well, I think they all get sent back to their own branch universes. Like,
this may be in the future.
Having to have died fighting Spider-Man, that was just their speculation.
Some of them do.
Yeah. It doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to happen.
Right? Yeah, that was more of a trailer explanation. And yeah, because basically Norman said, or Osborn, or I'm sorry, Otto says that, oh, I know Norman Osborn died fighting Spider-Man.
And how would he know that, by the way? That's also a plot. Because no one knew Green Goblin was Norman Osborn.
And then Marco says, "Oh, Otto Octavius, I know you. And,
you die too."
Yeah. and Electro knows the Lizard dies fighting Spider-Man, so that it kind of leaves the last of every movie knowing that they're not going to necessarily.
Well, that's the thing, right? Lizard asked him, he's like, "Hey, do I die?"
Yeah.
But Andrew Garfield did say, like, he was like, "Stop pulling his punches." So I guess he killed the Lizard at some point. That's how I took it. Like, eventually down the road, he killed the Lizard. So yeah, I think when they all get sent back, they'll get sent to their own universes. And I think that was a genius, like, angle for them to take, of like, I don't want to send these people back just to die. Let's try to fix them. You know, that's what heroes do, right? He's going to try. This is what we do, right? Him and Aunt May. So that, oh, last word, very, very smart not to bring through the Dane DeHaan Green Goblin. That guy is the worst and he's better left forgotten. Also James Franco, right? He's kind of persona non grata these days. So they probably, that was one reason to avoid him, but also like, that's very convoluted. And if you're bringing back Toby, like it's a whole nother thing. You got to deal with those two guys. I think it was smart just to avoid him, because if Norman Osborn is going to be your big bag, I did like how he was mentioned, right? Norman, a couple times, right? Osborn's like, "There's no Oscorp, my son, nothing exists," like, you know, good stuff. But so they chose all the right villains. Now, would you guys have liked to see them, like, a random other villain that we never saw in another movie, and just say, "Hey, he fought this guy. The Scorpion is here from the Tobey Maguire." That felt weird to y'all.
If anything, a third universe that we don't know about. Shocker, that whoever the actor was in the first Tom Holland Spider-Man, maybe have him in a traditional Shocker costume. But other than that, and then
have Miles Morales show up.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's my biggest. If I have any gripes, I was so confident that Miles Morales would be there.
Yeah,
you could go as big as you want or as little as you want. It's hard to, at some point they gotta, you know, think about budget and time of the movie and stuff. And obviously,
wait a minute. They have to think about budget in a Marvel movie after Endgame?
And after this movie.
You know what I mean. I'm just saying, you can't. Ideally, you'd want it to be bigger, because five villains and two other good guys, it just seems like
it's minuscule for, like,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to act like I know everything about, and you know, the box office or anything, but I'm curious if they could have made more money in opening weekend, especially with the current situation we're in, where our movie theater is going to be available in 2-3 weeks from
now. Yeah.
If they would have advertised Toby and Andrew, I think there is a potential to make more money if you have that in the trailers. And I guess I went into it so confident that I wasn't expecting anything different. So if the rest of the world, I mean, I've got coworkers who saw the Toby movies when they were kids, and they're like, "Oh, now that you're telling me this, I might go." But
yeah,
I feel like that could have been a miscalculation on the box office in terms of marketing in the movie.
I think that's definitely a good point, but I think that you would probably would rather have the effect of the surprise and like the effect that it's had on those of us who didn't know for sure. Maybe plus, like you said, if that was going to be the one reason they go see it is because Toby and Andrew in it, it's out now. Like, they would know by now that they're in it. And
yeah, but maybe this weekend, the regulation.
That's true.
Now, there might be a few people who avoid the spoilers that Toby and Andrew are in it, but yeah. I mean, I like the way they did it, where they were like, deny, people, wall of silence, to quote The Big Bang
Theory. I think
when Penny took an onion from
Sean. I guess
I saw some story on Twitter. I don't know if it's true or not. It's like an urban legend now, but like, somebody took a selfie with Tobey Maguire, like, at a park. And he asked him, like, "Hey, are you in the movie?" And he just winked at him and walked away. I don't know if that's true or not, but I think that's so funny. Like, that's what Tobey Maguire did. Meanwhile, Andrew Garfield's over here in every interview. And they ended up breaking Andrew Garfield at some point. He's like, he's saying no forever. And then eventually he was like, "Well, just go see the movie. You never know." This is a poor guy. Man. But no, I just...
The pandemic helped him, I think, avoid... Maybe. Some contact.
Yeah. I also feel bad for them just in terms of the premiere, like, not getting.
Well, did they go to the premiere?
There's no photos of them, I guess.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, you may just say you're going to support a fellow Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Well, they did.
Yeah, like how Ray Park was at the solo premiere, right? I don't know if he was.
You know, I saw something that I think Tom Holland dressed as Spider-Man at Disney World or something or somewhere. Like when you meet the live characters.
Yeah. He's done that a few times.
Oh, he has? Oh, wow. That's interesting. Yeah.
So were there any Spider-Men dressed at the premiere?
There could have.
A lot of t-shirts I saw. But
I highly doubt Andrew Garfield's going to a movie premiere dressed as Spider-Man.
But he did go to Comic-Con dressed as Spider-Man.
Did he?
I highly doubt Toby's going to any premiere of anything.
Toby gives me a Tom Welling vibe where he just wants to go live his life.
I guess he does a lot of producing now.
The suit again.
Fantastic, right?
I know, when he didn't have it on when he got there, I thought for sure he wasn't going to.
Well, yeah. Best line of the movie. We ain't going to battle dressed like a cool youth pastor.
Yeah.
That's the best line of the movie.
You know, another thing I've been reading the Superior Spider-Man when Doc Ock and Peter Parker switch bodies right before Doc Ock dies of some cancer or any other kind of life-threatening disease. And I just can't stop thinking about Lionel and Clark switching reading that.
Yeah, as if that had actually gone through as Lionel had planned, right, on Smallville. When did the Superior Spider-Man come out? Was that before or after Transference? Oh, 2014?
Maybe 13, 12, somewhere in that ballpark.
So after Transference, for sure.
For sure. 100%. Wow. Yeah.
Who wrote that anyway? Do you know?
Slott?
Dan Slott? Okay. Yeah. Cool. That's an interesting story.
Yeah. They definitely ripped it off of Smallville since it came later.
Smallville did it first. Yeah.
Yeah. No chance it wasn't Smallville that they were.
I mean, the first ones to do it were Freaky Friday anyway.
There you go. Freaky Friday did it first. I guess I don't know how they could have done this any better. Like a few nitpicks here and there, but it's like for this, we should never have gotten to this point, honestly, like with all these convoluted, like, well, we have three Spider-Man franchises and we kind of want to fix it all and put it all in Marvel and clean it all up. And oh crap, we didn't introduce like every Tom Holland villain is a Tony Stark villain. So what do we do? I don't know. Just take the villains from the other movies that people seem to like those. Like it just seems, this seems like such a shrill money grab, like corporate design thing. And
for it to go well.
Yeah. But then they put it all together and it worked, man. Like this gives me hope for liking things that are new.
And this is a minor thing to point out, but I just truly appreciate the fact that they honored the original scores for each character and brought in their themes, because I always am arguing about how, you know, I think that Superman should be like James Bond in terms of the theme. You know, everybody should use the same Superman theme. But then when each Spider-Man had their own identifiable theme and they used them properly, it was just, you know, it brought me goosebumps more than anything else.
I was so in awe of the whole movie. I didn't even notice the themes.
Yeah, I
knew about them later, but not.
Well, they didn't like play them. Like the thing was, it wasn't like I was. So here's what I thought, like you, Joey. Like I thought, like we weren't gonna see anybody at all until like they came in at the end, and then we were gonna hear the theme when they showed up, and that was gonna be it. So they kind of weaved it in. It was very subtle.
Yeah.
And so I was so caught up in the movie and what they were doing, like I didn't even like, because that was my thing too. I'm always about like I better hear the Tobey Maguire, Danny Elfman, then we pissed, right? And like it's kind of there sometimes, but even I was like, fine, sure. Like they used enough of it. They didn't like stop and play Hero by Chad Kroeger, even though that would have been awesome. I would have loved that. But like, you know, they weaved it all together so well. And even the Amazing Spider-Man theme, the James Horner one.
The point that I knew Toby and Andrew were going to be in the movie was I was so close to just 2 days before after the premiere Googling it, but I held back and I was like, you know what? I'm going to see if the score's on iTunes. When I saw that they didn't release anything, I was like, okay, this is 100% official. they didn't Qui-Gon's Noble end it. The Justice League, they released the score a few days early and they had the Danny Elfman theme and the John Williams theme kind of mixed in there. But when they kept that a secret, I'm like, okay, they are holding everything as close to the chest as possible. And
all right, can I be a little bit of a bad guy here. I want to pop.
Here it is. I knew you didn't like the movie, Chris.
No, I like it. I seriously like it. How come in the beginning when they were doing they're doing the spell to make everybody forget, and he says maybe just Ned or just MJ, everything was okay still then. And then it's when he added more people, that's when it messed it up. So in the end, when he's doing the spell, why couldn't he have just kept MJ or just kept Ned?
Well, I think this was a different spell. This spell was like, forget that Peter Parker exists. That's different than forget that Peter Parker is Spider-Man. So I see your point, but I think again, magic is so vague in its rules. I will allow it.
I think that Doctor Strange is so egotistical and so self-confident that he's like, oh yeah, I could take care of this, no problem.
Yeah, we'll find out in Multiverse of Madness.
Maybe that's also why he was so quick to actually do the spell without like talking it through, like thinking, okay, you want what now? And so you want nobody to know. Or whatever.
Okay, so now
he couldn't.
He didn't say, oh, did you talk to anybody? Any other ways to resolve
that?
This
was stuff? Hilarious when he's like, you didn't even call the college where he had me ringwatch the universe.
That was funny. So now, do all the other universes forget that Peter Parker exists also?
Yes.
I question that as well. I don't think so. I think it's just this Tom Holland version. Because that's like, you can't send the other two back and then have that happen to them. That's not their problem.
You can absolutely have that happen.
I think it's only this Tom Holland Spider-Man where the universe that forgets. So, because he started it all. So it all started here.
The only another very tiny nitpick at the very end when they threw in the comment about rent is due in the first of the month.
Why is Urias?
Where is Mr. Dickovich?
I was disappointed we didn't see him at that point. I was and I thought that was like the same apartment that Peter was in.
Yeah,
two and three almost.
Yeah, this
it
one
seemed
was
like a reveal.
Rent when you fix this damn door.
It's a huge missed opportunity. Have his daughter there, be great. So maybe whenever we get Spider-Man 4 with Tom Holland, that guy better be his landlord or we riot. So
if promises
was Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, that could have been the manager.
Yeah, it's the guy downstairs. The Bruce Campbell should have been in this, right? Yeah.
Maybe the handyman was letting him in.
Maybe so. But that is a newest opportunity. I 100% because at that point I was like, well, anything's possible.
It just felt like they were leading up to something, and then you just see an apartment.
Well, I was thinking to myself, like, is this some kind of reveal? Is this the exact apartment that Tobey Maguire was in? Because it reminded me of that, but I couldn't really remember. And it really didn't feel like it was like a reveal. So I guess the reveal was ultimately at the end, right? Everyone forgets Peter Parker exists. That's a real smart way to finally get him out of the shadow of Tony Stark, right?
Yeah. And you know what? This is in no way their plans, because Spider-Man makes way too much money for this to happen. But if they were doing the right thing from here on out, they would have a regular series on Disney Plus called Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, where he is just doing street level crime from here on out. But we know he's only going to show up in Avenger movies.
Well, he's got three more movies coming.
Well, yeah. For Sony by himself, I don't know how much of the MCU that's going to be. You know what I mean?
But yeah. Spider-Man is so perfect for a TV show.
And it's absolutely. Well, Smallville is Spider-Man. Just have him have a costume. Like that's the only difference. But in New York, I mean, like I would love that show.
Yeah,
we're all starting to age out of that show, so I'd rather watch the Tobey Maguire as a kid who's a Spider Girl show now at this point. But that's what Superman Lois is. So, yeah. But no, that's the same thing, man. All these heroes who do them right, Batman, Spider Man, like TV shows are the way, but they just make too much money and they'll never do it. But the format is there because they both have the thing about Batman and Spider Man, they both have so many excellent villains. They're probably the best two rogues galleries, right? And so you're not going to run out of villains like you are with some other heroes. So you have perfect amount of villains of the week for these shows.
Yeah.
So. But I would love it, man. They're waiting on, they're sitting on a landmine, I'm sorry, I'm talking about.
Gold mine.
That's it. Anyway,
it's going to be even harder. It would be even harder to do something like that with Spider-Man just because of the rights ownership too.
Yeah. Like where do they air it? Because the Spider-Man movies are not on Disney Plus. Like I had not seen Spider-Man Far From Home until the week of this movie. So I'm like, I go sign on to Disney Plus. I'm like, all right, let me go watch this movie. I'm like, where is Spider-Man Far From Home? So I had to rent it off Amazon. It was ridiculous.
I've got both Spider-Man Homecoming and Far From Home on Vudu.
Okay, well, I'm going to get them all now. Because, I mean, Spider-Man's my guy. So this is fantastic.
It seems like every time I go to Walmart, when a new movie comes out, they've got a new box set of every single thing that he's ever been in.
I see this though, like, having revisited the Raimi movies and the Webb movies, they need to release a new edit of Spider-Man 3. Because everybody's seen, like, so many alternate scenes and stuff. I would love to see that out there. And they really need to release a new edit of The Amazing Spider-Man 2, because that movie just got butchered to death. And that's part of the reason why it's so nonsensical. Aunt May, right? Marissa Tomei, obviously.
Joe Pesci is officially Uncle Ben for life.
Oh, George Costanza, bro.
Hey, Elaine is in the MCU.
Elaine's so good. Well, here's, okay, young hot Aunt May. Okay, right? That was her purpose, this whole dating Happy Hogan, people buying her dinner, right, for free. Like, okay, fine. But you know what? Like, if you just remove all that, all that baggage, like, she was great in this movie, right, with Peter and then dying.
Dude, obviously. I got goosebumps when she said, with great power must also come great responsibility.
I was already sobbing at that point.
Well, and that's apparently, I didn't know this, that's the actual phrase that's in the comic book.
Yes.
There must also come great responsibility. So when they kind of, that's, they told it again, but they told it the way it originally was. So that was smart. I guess my only thing was there, I wish he would have said, like, it's like your Uncle Ben always used to say. I would have liked that. But they didn't. They just refused to acknowledge the existence of Uncle Ben in these movies for some reason. I don't understand.
You know, but you know what? After Loki, in terms of every Loki having their Nexus moment, you know, this is his Nexus moment.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Toby showing up and talking about Uncle Ben made it okay for me. Absolutely. I'm like, come on, someone acknowledge this guy existing. You know, I love how, so he finishes the
sentence. Andrew did too.
Andrew looks at it, he's like, what? Like, he knows what they're saying, but it'd been so funny if he's like, I never heard that.
I was just waiting for him to say, Uncle Ben. Yeah.
What are you guys talking about?
12 years ago.
So happy Hogan man in this too. Feel bad for him. So
did you notice it said Harold Hogan?
Like, that's his real name, is it? With his
Harold Happy Hogan.
His picture from Iron Man 3 with the long hair. That was good.
Right.
Oh,
like, when he did all the security.
Because I was listening to another podcast and they didn't say anything about that.
I guess that's his real name. Happy's a nickname, right? That Tony Stark gave him, I assume.
I guess.
But that's so cool, right? You have, I mean, heavy stuff, right? The grave of Aunt May, and Happy Hogan is there, and he's like, "Hey, how'd you know her?" I'm like, "Damn."
Yeah, they're committed to this.
Like, I thought for sure they were going to resurrect Aunt May. I was like, "All right, well, this is a Marvel movie." I'm like, "She's not going to die, right? They're going to undo all this stuff." And I'm like, "Wow, they didn't do it. That's some balls right there." The other two series never killed Aunt May. So good for you. And he really became Spider-Man in this. I know that's probably a cliche thing to say, but like, he experienced all the trauma. He did the great sacrifice, because up to this point, like, what kind of, I mean, obviously he had assumedly lost an Uncle Ben before now, but other than that, he just win, no matter what here for Tom Holland and Spider-Man. And like, he actually really, I mean, more than anything else, huge sacrifice. So,
you know what I was expecting? I was expecting someone, when they were comparing notes and how their powers worked, and Peter said something like, or yeah, Peter, Tom Holland.
Peter 3
said, use your tingle. And I was expecting someone at some point, maybe not right at that exact moment, but someone to say, yeah, use my Spidey sense. And I was expecting Tom Holland to be like, Spidey sense. That sounds so much better.
That would have been good. I wish someone would have gotten rid of the Peter tingle.
Yeah.
Because they're trying not to copy the old stuff. I'm like, look, they're here now. Now's the perfect time to clean this up.
It's an easy way to give you the, like, how did this get here moment, where it's like, you might never have this before, or someone didn't name it for you or give it to you. Like, it's an easy way just to hand it off, and now you have it in every universe.
And I loved how they compared notes on, like, the web shooting.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was so weird that Toby could he didn't have to reload or anything. It was just there.
So does that come out of anywhere else? Nope, just there.
I missed that joke during the movie.
Why when Toby first got there and he and Andrew saw each other, did they, like, all of a sudden, like, shoot web at each other, and then all of a sudden everything was okay?
That was strange.
you know what it is? I jumped to the into the Spider-Verse where you can actually see the Peter Tingle above each of their heads in terms of their Spidey sense video game style. I think that they just both kind of got a sense about each other real quick and reacted. Like, immediately saw that they're the same person.
Ah, okay. I was like, I get the heroes have to fight thing, but that did strike me as odd as well. But speaking of the Peter Tingle, I did really like how right before all hell breaks loose at the condo, like it gets all slow and he looks around, he scans the whole room, and then he ends up on Green Goblin there. And I thought that was really well done, because that's something that the spider sense is something these movies have really not done as well, I don't think. I mean the Sam Raimi movie did it great, where it's like the whole, like, I mean, maybe this is the first time we saw it in live action like that, but I just think that visual language was so perfect.
Well, I mean, the hair standing up on his arm in Avengers too.
In Infinity War, that was the best I've seen, I thought. Like, where he just knew something.
He knew he was about to go. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
And look at what they did with when Doctor Strange pushed his his astral plane out of his body.
That was awesome.
That was the spider sense without the human inhibition to block it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That did. So all this to say, right? All that we get, you know, there's the big end battle and all that, right? Did you like the final, like him and Green Goblin at the end? I think that was pretty brutal. Although nothing is as brutal as the Spider-Man 1 fight between the two of them. I would have liked, they were just on this Captain America shield there. I would have maybe liked a little more back and forth other places, but we'd already seen so much by this point. And that the fight wasn't the point. The point was he was going to kill Green Goblin, and Toby has to come in and stop him. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah.
Did anybody not see him getting stabbed? Like
Toby? No, that shocked me. I thought they just killed him. I was like, oh my God, they just killed Toby.
I was shocked when he just got up and said, I've been stabbed before.
Something was going to happen though. When he's just standing there like this for so long, and then, you know, Goblin's on the ground behind him, like clearly not dead. And
you know, I was shocked, actually. I was, because I thought they had killed him. I was like, wow.
No, I was shocked that he didn't die, but I wasn't shocked that he got stabbed.
Right, right.
Politically, though,
I'm in so much pain right now.
Politically, if I lived in that world, I'm pro adding Captain America's shield to the Statue of Liberty if he saved the entire world.
Absolutely.
Universe, 100%. It sounded like JJ was trying to start a debate there. I'm pro shield.
Well, how about the trailer we got at the end of the credits?
Oh yeah, they pulled a, let's see, that was Captain America First Avenger when the end where they showed the Avengers last trailer. That was great. I haven't watched What If, so Lance had to tell me who the evil Doctor Strange was. I was like, who's that guy?
Yeah. And I don't know if it's the same evil Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
What If is something that's on my list of things to watch, but I didn't think it would tie into the entirety of the MCU.
Well, it is now. I'm watching everything.
Are they going to pull all that in? Are they going to do all the What Ifs? Do I have to watch What If now?
We have to. Yes. Chris, you have to watch everything. That's what
I assume after everything I saw online today.
I'm in.
That's crazy.
I'm in. Like, right. they won me over. Like whenever Marvel, like, I'm like, whatever, guys, think you're starting to lose it, right? They pull me back in, right? After Age of Ultron, they got me back with Doctor Strange. After Endgame, they got me back with this. And Spider-Man, I say Captain America is my favorite, like, Marvel character, but actually, I guess I was thinking MCU term, Spider-Man.
How could you have not been all in after Endgame?
Because it was over, bro.
Yeah.
Endgame.
It's a good ending point for, like, you spend how many years? How many movies?
And then give me some time away from this stuff. Right?
I honestly thought
that. We don't really want to be away. We just think we do.
I thought that was a generational handoff. Like, all right.
Yes. I agree. Generational handoff is an excellent way to say it.
But man, this movie could have gone so wrong, right? And it went so right. And all credit to them, they found a way to make it work. So
I want my last note to say I did thoroughly enjoy this movie. I want that on the record. I want it on the record. I did thoroughly enjoy it.
How many stars?
Okay, Dallas.
Out of how many?
Five. With half.
I give it 4.5.
That's fair.
I thought it was great, but I could pick holes in the story, and I can.
We're giving you a hard time, Chris. You don't have to defend yourself.
I'm not saying it's bad. Like, I thoroughly enjoy it. I will rewatch this movie many times, I'm sure. But it just doesn't get the, like, maybe it's just because Spider-Man's not as big to me. I don't know. I enjoy Spider-Man, but
I don't believe you.
Four and a half for me. 4.5 out of 5.
He watches the J. Jonah Jameson report over there on the Daily Bugle. So Sky's problems, national monuments.
If you have to give the 5 to the ones that are like all-star favorite for me, then this would be a 4.5.
I struggle with that too because my favorite movies of all time are like 5. I'm like, I just can't hand out a 5.
That's right.
Like, but now I'm like, 5+ or whatever. Like, it's, you know, there's different tiers and levels. And I think we're really fortunate. I mean, I just really fortunate this turned out as well as it did. You know, yeah. I mean, you think about, I know it's a totally different situation. It's a totally different situation. Look at the rise of Skywalker. Look at that. Like, that was like a culmination of 40 years of movies. And they're like, just terrible.
My last point on this, I was listening to 602 Club by, I think you,
Matt Rushing. Yeah, I know those. And
what Matt Rushing said on there was he said that this was what the sequel trilogy could have been in terms of recognizing the past and still carrying on with the future. And that just stuck with me this morning when I was listening to that. And
1000%. Like, yeah. That's the other thing, right? They kept being Spider-Man. Yep. Neither of them had quit. Because they both were like, yeah, we had some tough times. We kept on going. I'm like, yeah, that's what heroes do.
But you, I thought you wanted Toby to be retired.
Did I? I don't know. Now, well, the thing was, as I've said here many times, like, had they made him the MCU Spider-Man from the beginning, yeah. And to explain why he wasn't around, and the Avengers say like, oh, okay, well, the Avengers, that was too much for him. He retired then. And then they could, but this many different universe didn't have to do it. So like, he's been Spider-Man. Andrew Garfield's like, he kept going, right? I mean, like, that's what these guys do. And they were still Spider-Man. And that's fantastic. Cause that's what it's all about, man. Like, it'd been so easy for them to be like some, like, you know, we've seen it in so many different ways. And that's a great way to put it too. Like, and they were all equally Spider-Man. Like, they didn't say, hey, look how much cooler Tom Holland is than these old guys, right?
You know, they definitely, when Andrew said, okay, I get it, I'm Peter 3. They knew who was who in the order.
You're amazing. You are amazing.
I thought there was a, when they were doing Alpha Melina's coming in, you know, I thought I saw that Kirsten Dunst was going to be in No Way Home. I was so confident that was going
to. Well, there were so many rumors going around. I would have liked to see that, like them going back home or something to explain some stuff. But
I liked the vagueness of, you know, it was complicated. We figured it out. I like that vagueness personally.
That's good. Yeah, I agree.
Peter and Mary Jane are just so on and off.
Mary Jane, I love the Raimi trilogy, but she is the worst girlfriend ever to everyone. Because, okay, in the first movie,
he's his third love interest.
In the first movie, I think she's okay. Her and Flash are fine, right? But then they break up. Harry starts dating her. Then she doesn't. They keep that a secret. And then her and Peter start getting close while she's dating Harry, right? And then in the second movie, she's going to marry J. Jonah Jameson's son. But it's
You forgot about her and Spider-Man.
Well, okay, that's right. To her knowledge, that's a different guy.
That's a different guy.
Spider-Man told you to say that? Yeah, something like that. The third guy, that's true. And then in the second one, like, she's going to marry J. Jonah Jameson's son, and she's like, her and Peter got something going on inside. Runaway bride, okay? And then in the third one...
Well, and she's also trying to reenact the Spider-Man kiss with him.
Doesn't work. Not the same. And then... In the third one, she gets with Harry. I mean, just a little bit, but still, like, the fact that she got that far.
She had already been with Harry before.
So that doesn't count now, is that what you're saying? Going back, no, this is not cheating? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I'm just saying it doesn't count. It's not an extra tally, that's all.
She's just a terrible girlfriend in those movies. I mean...
I'm just a fan of Torrance, that's all.
Something I noticed today when rewatching the first Spider-Man was Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man knew how to save her from a fall. Like, from the very first time. He dives, he grabs her, he shoots the web, and...
I think, you know, Garfield's Spider-Man knew, too. It got out of hand for him.
Well, Garfield's Spider-Man is, like, the situation from the Raimi one is from the comics. The resolution of Amazing 2 is from the comics, right? So, like, it's the first one they didn't, like, I don't mind they went back to that and, like, did it more accurate to the comics, but I see your point. It's like, and it's also the exact ending of Batman Forever, by the way. The end of Spider-Man 1. So, by the way, J. Jonah Jameson's son should have been Venom in Spider-Man 3. Obviously, that would have made perfect sense. He came back from the moon with symbiote. There's your guy. If I had a time stone, that's
or he should have been change. Mr. Fantastic.
You know what? I watched
it's Cosmic Rays, Casey.
This morning, I watched the 1994 Amazing Spider-Man animated series, and JJ's son comes back from the moon, brings back the symbiote, and it's still Eddie Brock that finds the symbiote. So.
But then JJ's son, it becomes like a werewolf or something, right?
I'm not there yet. No spoiler.
Anyway, comics are done.
From 1984.
Is this on Disney Plus?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. The opening sequence of Spider-Man 3 should have been a space shuttle crashing and Spider-Man saving it. And the black, anyway, oh, it's so obvious.
A full multiversal sidebar. Will Chris Evans return as the Human Torch? Yes or no?
Yes. 1,000%.
No.
All right.
Flame on.
I'll be the tiebreaker.
Okay, yeah. Fine. Will Michael B. Jordan return as the Human Torch? Killmonger or Captain America? Which one's going to be the Human Torch?
Chris Evans is going to see the Marvel checks dry up, and he will be back.
Yeah, it's
fine. I don't think it'll take that long.
He's earned a break, much like Captain
Isn't
America.
Chris Evans has earned a break for years, though.
Yeah, but
2025.
I think he'll be back. I think that they'll find a way to bring him to the next Captain America movie that they're making.
You know what I would always love to see with the Captain America movie. Is I don't know if you guys remember the Ed Brubaker runs of Captain America. Those are fantastic. But they have like a 1950s Cap, who they keep trying to use the serum on people after Steve Rogers disappears, but it doesn't work. And but they try to act like, oh, Captain America, he's still here doing stuff, right? But they turn crazy and like they have to. Anyway,
Did you see Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
Well, yeah, with the agent. I know they tried it. It's a similar thing today, but you could do that back then. But anyway, I just want more Captain America content. We're getting Captain America 4 with Anthony Mackie.
I guess basically what you're saying is back then they did this fake news thing, like Captain America didn't disappear. He's still doing stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think that's a very interesting concept, and I think that's exactly what government propaganda would do.
1,000%.
Especially to show by how they replaced him in I would like to
see the story that blends when he was around in the 80s and 90s and oh, he's actually back.
Right? How do you explain that?
I would like to see that.
He's the one who finds his own body.
That'd be fantastic. I would believe they would do that too.
And Peggy, go look here in the Arctic, but just wait until like 1990 or 2011.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic. To tie it back to Smallville, who does the return better, Marvel or Smallville, in terms of the crisis little blip of Tom there or the return of Toby?
Is that a serious question? Like, are you seriously?
Well, overall,
you stated overall, like, you know, you love, you wouldn't
have taken this.
What Tom's comeback there. Casey, go ahead.
Overall, as a whole package, Marvel definitely did it better.
Yeah.
Because they actually had all three of them fighting together.
Yeah.
You know,
They had Brandon Routh, which is the extension of Christopher Reeve, and the only person they were missing was Henry. So,
well, no, even if you include that, I mean, Tom Welling wasn't there to fight in a battle at all.
Yeah,
neither was Brandon.
I like how they did it, but because of that, I'm going to say Marvel did it better.
Absolutely, yeah, no, yeah, it was more of a rhetorical question. Just you have to bring it up in a Smallville podcast.
And then Clark pulls his flannel over and shows he's wearing a Superman suit underneath it. So
he pulls the blue ring off.
Yeah, there it is.
I personally want to think that was a rip at Smallville in terms of like, are you just going to go in as a cool youth pastor where Tom was just going to go in as a cool farmer?
I don't think I was a rip at Smallville, but
it was a watch. It wasn't a ring.
What?
Oh, that's
it was a watch. It was a watch for
Jimmy Olsen. Yeah.
Ring for Jimmy Olsen. It was a watch for Tom because he was wearing a watch and people thought.
No, Jimmy Olsen had an armband, bro. He had
a wristband.
Yeah. It's a Brainiac.
When Clark actually put on the blue ring in. Yeah.
That was from Zor-El.
Right. We'll leave it there. There's lots of DC stuff that's been developing, but next time we assemble, we can talk about some of that because
we get more Star Wars next week.
Oh, the Mandalorian.
No, Book of Boba Fett.
Tom is coming back as Superman.
How about how Marvel finally referenced the DC universe in the Eternals movie?
I didn't see the Eternals. What did they do?
They actually mentioned Superman and Batman.
The MCU has already mentioned Superman because in the first movie of the MCU, Aunt May says, "You're not Superman, you know."
It was a great trailer line right there. Wasn't
part of the MCU until this past weekend.
See, I had canon all these things, like the comic books in DC are Marvel, right? And the comic books in Marvel are DC. So, yes, like,
that's smart. Yeah.
That's how
except for canon. Warrior Angel.
Right. And the comic books in X-Men are X-Men, apparently. So I got to tell you what.
There are Captain America comics in the Marvel universe, as they showed in the first Captain America movie.
Yes, yes.
About a quarter of it happened.
And there's Smallville comic books in Smallville.
That's ridiculous. That is holding the line at $2.99. I'm sure they thought that was really clever. They're like, oh, man, we'll have it a comic book. I'm like, did you think about the ramifications of this? Like,
Mr. Witten, you're having her finish reading it and then call him as he's about to get married or call.
Oh, my goodness gracious. But yeah, X-Men Days of Future Past nailed this sort of thing. Spider-Man No Way Home nailed this sort of thing. Fortunately, DC kind of fumbled Crisis on Infinite Earths, and I feel like they're really going to fumble The Flash. Seeing how well they did this has kind of killed my enthusiasm with The Flash, because I know like they're not going to do it this well. And it did something that almost no other franchise could do, right? It had Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, and Tom Holland are all active, available, and still in the prime of their careers, can come back together and assemble like this with all the villains. Like, unfortunately, you just can't do that with Batman, especially not Superman. Obviously, Christopher Reeve has passed on, and Brandon Routh is his, you know, spiritual successor. You could do something with that, but it still isn't quite the same. And with Batman, there's been so many. What do you even do? And they're bringing in Michael Keaton, but he's not like with Ben Affleck. He's replacing Ben Affleck, and that's the whole thing. And I don't know. I just don't think they're going to be able to do it. Do they need to do this? No, but it'd be nice for them to do something instead of what they've been doing. And it's sad.
It's just crazy to see that they keep trying and keep trying, and they like change some things but keep others. Like, you have different Suicide Squad movies, but you keep some of the characters and replace some of the others, and you don't know what's what. You have one movie, like you have the Justice League. Get rid of the
bad and keep the good.
Yeah, but like it doesn't work. Whereas you have Marvel, who's over here, and everything all matches up, and they're cycling into one, and everything they put out right now is a hit.
Yeah, I mean, they've had a couple of recastings, you know, Hulk and War Machine. You could use it. Hey, that's true. Maybe they'll explain it that way. Get Terrence Howard back for Multiverse of Madness. Next time, baby, it's going to fly through some portal.
I mean, recasting is one thing, but like when you have, you know, it's still the same character.
Yeah. No, you're right. Recasting and rebooting are very different. I don't like recasting, but credit to Marvel for being able to hold everybody together too. I mean, that's a huge part of the continuity.
I'm here. Deal with it.
There it is. Iron Man 2. So Don Cheadle, he's going to get his own Disney Plus show coming up here, right? So good for him. So last word, do you think we'll ever see Spider-Man's reunite again? Or was that a one-off thing?
I vote no. I think this is it.
I vote for 2 out of 3, 100%. I'm no doubt.
Well, do you think you might see Andrew Garfield in Venom 3 or something, but
I think we'll see 2 out of 3 characters in this movie together again.
Okay.
In terms of the Spider-Man.
Okay. What about you, Casey?
I think they're not going to do it again. I think they did it perfect this time, and anything they do, if they try to do it again, just would screw it up.
There is a danger that they did it so well, like you could fumble it next time around. If I were them, I'd be like, well,
cash is king, though.
That's true. I mean, they're going to.
I'm not vouching for the quality, but it'll. It'll happen once checks clear. I think even Toby's in the running in terms of, like, you know, percentage of box office or anything like that.
Well, you got to think Toby's in Multiverse of Madness. It's the Sam Raimi movie, right? Oh. I mean, surely they filmed.
Honestly, that was my thought of. That was my worst case scenario is
if he wasn't in this.
Yeah. We're going to get a stinger of Toby, and it's going to tie into Multiverse of Madness. That was my worst case.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, that was well done. All credit where credit is due to these guys for, I mean, this is hallowed ground. This is this Raimi Spider-Man trilogy, right? You messing around with that stuff, like the Blade, X-Men, and Spider-Man. That trifecta there, or why we are where we are today with these superhero movies, and they didn't mess it up. Like I cannot express enough how bad this could have all gone, right? But they somehow pulled it together, and it gives me hope, and it actually shows me that it can be done. So whenever I hear DC people, I'm like, well, what do you want us to do? I'm like, I don't know, something that consistent and coherent and not erase it every 5 minutes. That's what I would like.
You know, they couldn't do Lois Lane in Smallville because they were going to confuse people on the movie side.
That's right. That's right. Can't have Kryptonians on Smallville because the viewers would be confused. Although I am glad
at least Marvel fans are smart enough to understand it all.
Damn. So sad.
We DC fans, we just won't get it.
I don't know. Why is Batman twice? Hot take. I'm glad Batman and Wonder Woman were never on Smallville. Whoa. Like literally they were like not allowed to use them, and it made them like save at least something for after he was Superman. So, but
in the nondescript comic books that could have been Tom Welling, maybe not.
Smallville season 11. Yeah, check it out. So Tom Welling on the cover, some random Superman from 2012 in the pages. That's for sure. So, all right, y'all. Well, that was a lot of fun talking to Spider-Man, talking to multiverse. But Chris, if people want to find you out there online, where can they find you?
At CRFuke7 on Twitter, commenting on all the Always Hold On To Him podcast posts.
Excellent. What about you, Casey?
At Casey Cochran 53 on Twitter. And in first place in the Always Hold On To Smallville Fantasy Football League.
Congratulations. Good for you.
Hey, congrats for beating me in the final week.
Hey, man, I finished last season, and now I finished ninth. So
I finished first last season, and now I'm second to last. No one's passing the torch. No one's passing the torch to you yet, Casey. You still got to make it through.
All right, Joey, what about you, man?
Well, by the time you're listening to this, I probably did win the Always Hold On Smallville Fantasy Football.
There it is.
Third place right now. You know, I made a big midseason trade that changed the fortunes of my season, but anyway, you can find me on Twitter at JoeyD94_13 and on Letterboxd as well.
Letterboxd, that's right. Letterboxd is a great way to rank all these movies.
Oh yeah, I found out from Matt Truex about that.
Yeah, Letterboxd is great. I found out about it from some friends I podcast with too over at UFP.
I probably spent a year seeing people screenshot their rankings. I'm like, where the hell are they doing this? I finally got
When I started Franchise Fatigue with Brandon, that's when I started using Letterboxd, and every movie I've seen, I've logged and ranked and all this stuff. So it's fun. I mean, especially for people like us, we're all into this stuff. And I mean, my top 10 and people are like, where are these ranked? I'm like, okay, I guess I'll make a top 25 now. And I'm stopping there. But I think, you know, that was fun to do. Yeah. So, as for me, more on Zach, UFP Earth, Twitters that I do things on. Always Smallville here for the podcast on Twitter. Always on to Smallville for the podcast on Facebook. And you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com. Once again, with one S. Well, happy holidays. Merry Christmas and happy new year to everyone out there. It's been a fun year. We'll be back next year talking more anything on the level 33.1. I want to thank all you guys for being patrons, and hopefully you guys are getting your money's worth and enjoying all the content and being part of the community here. I know I appreciate it and enjoy all of our interactions. And it's always fun to be able to go outside our privy and talk about this kind of stuff here on these roundtables too. So until next year,
always
hold on to Smallville. Always Hold On To Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Chris Fuchs, Cavante Chillis, Dallas Hernandez, Darren Kirst, Joey Deanberg, JJ Hodges, DJ Dewinna, Nathan Rothacher, Coy Moore, Leanne Pritchett, Mark Gidsfoppen, Patricia Carrillo, Nathan McKenzie, Jason Skipper, Steve Rogers, Joe Mickendoe,
Atif Sheik, Molly Ficarella, John Curcio, Mike Franz, Dylan D'Antonio, Thomas Navin, Andrew Barker, James Lee, Jonathan England, Adam Sullins, Joe Michael, Zachary Burkhalter, Alex Ramsey, Jason Davis, Patrick Bravo, Jacob Stevenart, Deanna Bias, Nick Ryan MacDoza, Eddie Bissell, Nicholas Fansler, Catherine Caldwell, Will Hunt, Clunk Kent, Matt B., Mariana Sachi, Tom Gerke, Nicholas Coso, Erica Flynn, Jared Gibbs, Anthony Anderson, Jasmine Magelli, Keith Falls, Lauren D., James Hart, and Melissa Brown. Thank you so much to all these patrons, and you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.